It's Yat Pundit's Pub for Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. And welcome to the pub. It's a Tech Wednesday podcast today. And well, you can hear the birds. It's kind of waking up here at the coffee shop. So two things on tap today in the pub. One, we're going to talk a little bit about the enterprise stuff. I'm teaching a class I've taught for a good while and on one of the Hitachi software components. So
it's,
we'll discuss that.
It's pub
and
for
then
Thursday,
we're going to
April
get 25th, in and talk a little bit about some of the stuff I've talked about at the Crew to Tech for the last couple of weeks about websites. In particular, we had a nice session last night discussing the differences between content management systems like WordPress and Drupal, and when you would pick one over the other. So that's our plan. Let's go ahead, get going, and let's talk enterprise tech to start. Now, before we get started, just one additional thing. We've got I've got a little bit of an announcement, and that is, it's way past time that I start actually having guests on the pods. So if you're interested in being on Yat Pundit's Pub or on NOLA History Guy, by all means, give me a shout out. There's other specific people I'm going to be contacting as well. But if you have an idea for somebody that I, you know, would be good to sit down and chat with for the pod, by all means, just ping me on the show page or on Twitter, and we'll get that going. And our first brew up in the pub for this Tech Wednesday podcast, we're going to talk a little more about enterprise storage. But just the yesterday in particular was a kind of a trip down memory lane for me in a few ways. The stuff that I was that I'm teaching this week is interesting. It's also stuff that I've been teaching, oh gosh, since about 2008. It's a component of the software system that's known as Hitachi Tuning Manager. And Tuning Manager is one of those products that has just been around for a while, because it's a data gathering and reporting tool for the Hitachi Enterprise systems, and then the modular systems were added to it. Although when the product first came out, it was a bit pricey, and the modular customers usually didn't buy into it at that point. But even when the price tag was a little higher than it is now, because the licensing structure changed after a few years, but even when the licensing was a bit pricier for Tuning Manager, the enterprise customers, you know, the big bank customers, insurance companies, that kind of thing, they were always encouraged to buy and then carry, install this product, because it gathered a whole bunch of performance metrics and data about the storage arrays. I can remember going over to the UK, and this is in like 2009, and I'm over and I'm teaching. Actually, I was teaching them some of the basics, because it was a whole bunch of it was a bank that had decided to start using Hitachi equipment as opposed to another particular brand, and so they needed training on Device Manager and some of the the basic stuff about transitioning over to using those arrays. And so I remember asking one of the guys, one of the system engineers, we now call them technical consultants, in the Manchester office. I said, so they've got Device Manager. Did they buy Tuning Manager? And they said, yes, they did, but we don't expect them to use it right away. Says, probably for the next year or so, the only two people that'll be using it are the two consultants that were assigned to that account and go out to their data center and work with those folks. I guess they're just starting to learn it, but they wanted them to have Tuning Manager from the get-go. Now, the way we used to teach this class was basically it was always structured as two classes. There was a three-day course and a two-day course, and of course you turn that into a week of folks coming out to a particular location, coming out to back in the day it was Hanover, Maryland, and then there was all the stuff is now in Columbus, Ohio, and that was kind of the expectation, was that you you would come out for a week and do this. And the first three-day class was an introduction to the graphical interface and that setup. And then the second part of the course was a two-day class that they called Advanced Topics, and that's usually that's the stuff of, you know, how to access the system from the command line and do things with it there. And that was, well, it's cool. It was always fun. So this week, well, things have evolved over time. You know, this was, you know, I first started teaching that class, like I said, in like 08, 09, and now it's, and the product is still around. It's grown a good bit in terms of how you use it and the approaches customers use to gather in. And we're talking heavy duty, performance metrics underneath the hood, and the kind of thing that, you know, when you're responsible for this enterprise data, and there's heavy consequences for losing data or for having things go wrong. You know, you're running a state lottery on one of these big arrays, or, you know, on several of these big arrays. You don't want to A, lose the winning ticket, and B, have bad performance that nobody, you know, the response, people say, it's too slow, I'm in the gas station, I need to get out of here, kind of thing. So you need to make sure that those things don't happen. And that's just one example of that. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on these big storage subsystems. So we teach the course, and like I said, how they use it and access the software has evolved a little bit over the last 10 years, and that's a good thing. But then in terms of some of the deep dive reporting and the heavy analysis, like when you're looking, it's like, okay, how did we, you know, it's like, what are our goals for next year, and what kind of, you know, how much hardware do we have to buy? And these can be multi-million dollar decisions. So that kind of stuff, you know, we start coming into to that and the deeper analysis stuff. Well, a lot of that hasn't changed that much. So today and yesterday and today, I'm teaching the two-day advanced class of that five, which is going to be kind of weird when I get into it this morning, because this would back in 6-7 years ago, this would have been the Friday, right? You know, this would be the last day. They're sick of hearing of me because they've been at it all week, kind of situation. And now we're going to see them, you know, now I'm going to, you know, kind of get them set up so they can, you know, one last lecture this morning, and then they're going to get in and do the lab work on this. And it's just kind of a weird feeling because it's Wednesday, but it's okay. You know, that's how this rolls. But the idea here is that, you know, one of the things that's important about this stuff is that basically what happens is we take a computer and we hook it up we connect it to the storage array. Now, that can be a virtual computer, and it can be a system that's doing other things as well. But the idea is we put a little disk device on the storage array, we connect it to a computer, and then there's software that's known as agent software that runs on the computer. And so that basically what's happening is this agent software is connecting to the storage array every minute, and it's picking up a whole bunch of, it's pulling in a whole bunch of performance statistics. For example, when you save something to one of these arrays, it goes into what's called cache memory. It's RAM. It's just like on your computer. And then it from there goes down and gets saved to the hard drives. You don't save it, you know, you have to have that intermediate step. And it's very important to these guys, these folks, because I shouldn't just say guys. There's hi, you know, it's like, well, I won't name names. So yeah, it's a hi to some of my women friends who are in storage administration. But the idea here is that, you know, that you got to keep track, because cache is a very limited resource. You know, RAM is expensive. And so you might have a terabyte of RAM in a storage array that has 100 terabytes of hard disk, of storage space. So it's something we keep track of, and that's the key thing there. And so to do that, you can run a report and keep track of it. Now we have there's a programming what's called an API, an application programming interface, that allows you to query this stuff directly from a web browser, and that's how these things kind of evolve over time, which is what makes a course that I started teaching in 2008, 2009. Still kind of fun and interesting, and it's also why they keep coming back, because these things evolve. New guys come into companies that need to learn how to do this stuff, and that's kind of how that works. So that's part of it. And then one of the other things is that it's a two-day class. Now, we started this class yesterday on Tuesday because of Easter Monday. You still have a lot of people that, federal holidays, they'll talk about a 3-day weekend, but you still have a lot of people. There's still a number of companies that, because of schools and other things, other reasons, will take off Good Friday. So now you've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they'll take off Easter Monday as well, and that turns into a 4-day vacation. Swing another day, because here in New Orleans, if your kid goes to Catholic school, they can get her out on Thursday too. So you can make a little vacation out of it, which meant that from a business marketing standpoint, Hitachi Global Learning didn't want to start a class on Monday because people still be driving home from Disney or something, or on a plane from grandma's, that kind of thing. So we started on Tuesday. But what happens is the way these classes are set up, the lab managers in Columbus assign out the equipment for the week. So we're doing the class today. Yesterday, we're doing the class today. And then they're going to have access to the equipment until Friday afternoon. So one of the things I say at the beginning of all of these classes is one of the most important parts of coming to training on these big storage arrays is to have a little fun with the equipment. You know, when we're talking, if you are a big, you're a bank or a Visa processing center, or your Amazon, because Amazon uses our stuff as well. If you're one of these big companies, you can't just mess around with the storage here. If you take something offline or mess something up, like I say, there's consequences in financial institutions if you lose data, or insurance, healthcare. You just can't lose this stuff. And it has to be available. You know, it's not like you're losing it permanently. Most of the time there are backups, obviously. But you just don't go and lose these things, or you don't create situations where production goes down. So these storage administrators, the people who work with this stuff, don't have as much time to just experiment or try something. But in the lab environment, we're giving them the same storage array. It's a little small. It doesn't, have petabytes of storage attached to it, but it's the same, the same management hardware and software. And we basically just come in and tell them, go mess around with this, have some fun, touch components of the system, go in and look at aspects of the software that you wouldn't normally do, because you wouldn't want to accidentally turn something off or change parameters. Now go in and touch it and have some fun. And that's one of the things, and you guys know this, whatever your business is, that once you have a comfort level with something, whether it's a video camera or an audio recording board or just a telephone system in an office, once you have, once you start touching and using one of these, some kind of piece of technology like this, usually everything moves a bit. It flows better for you. You can go back and sit down and work with that piece of equipment with a good bit of confidence. You know, I'm sure the first time an auto mechanic plugs the interface cable to connect to a computer on a Nissan or a Toyota, there's a little bit of, there's always a little bit of trepidation with things. You know, it's like, am I pushing it in all the way? I don't want to crack the connector and that kind of thing. And you do that with your home stereo or your home computer, your home video system as well. You know, but once you do it once or twice and you get the feel for that, then it's okay. You know what you're doing, and you're good. And this idea of just getting in the lab and kind of banging on the equipment is always a useful thing for folks at this level. So we have fun with this, and it's a remote class. I teach it via a virtual classroom using WebEx, which is why I'm sitting out here at the coffee shop early, because then I can go back and get into my office and deliver the class to these guys. And so I'm, you know, getting a little of the best of both on this. I'm not traveling, but, you know, there's some balance here. So that's kind of an idea of some of the back-end stuff here that we do with these enterprise storage systems. And it's a very small subset of computer people who actually do this stuff. But they're fun people to work with. The stuff is important. It's lucrative. There's no doubt about that. So you kind of get the feel for, you know, what's going on with that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break, and we're going to shift to talk about computer stuff that has a much wider user base and audience, and specifically that would be like personal and small websites and that kind of thing. So we're going from the real heavy tech geeks getting in now into something that more the average user, well, above average user, but you know, bigger, wider base as we go. So we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk WordPress and Drupal. Yat Pundit's Pub is sponsored today by Elysian Fields Press, publishers of Dragon's Danger, book one of the Bloodbound series by Edward Branley. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Joey, Anne-Marie, and David are three teens from New Orleans. They're smart enough to understand this. Imagine their surprise when a dragon's egg they bought online turns out to be from an ancient trading company that sells collectibles and curiosities. Suddenly, it's more than just kidding around as they help their dragon avoid danger and evolve to its full potential. The Bloodbound series, Dragon's Danger, and its sequel, Dragon's Discovery, are young adult novels written by Edward Branley. They're set in New Orleans, and the age range for these novels runs anywhere from about 12 years old to adult, because it's young adult fiction. The novels are basically about the story of three 16-year-old high school students. So they're basically a bit PG in terms of language, if that's a problem for parents who are discerning what, you know, their preteens should read. Then, yeah, you might want to consider that. But certainly they're solid young adult fiction. They're available online at Amazon in paperback and for Kindle. They're also available in a number of local bookstores, most notably Blue Cypress Books up on Oak Street. And there are also signed copies of the series are available at ElysianFieldsPress.com. That's all one word, ElysianFieldsPress.com. And we're back. Our second brew in the pub today is a local brew, and a pretty tasty, interesting one too. We're going to talk about web content management systems. You know, the software that once you've got your web server up, you want to. In a lot of cases, you're not going to write all of your web pages from scratch. You're going to set up use a content management system to make that task, that job, a little bit easier. And so the two big ones, you know, we've been kind of leading. This is the third talk that I've done for Crude to Tech for this particular club. And so this is kind of the extension, you know, just the theme here. We've been talking about, you know, when do you build your own site? How do you host it? And now we're kind of getting into the two larger content or more common content management systems that we use. A word about Crude to Tech, just because for those folks locally who aren't familiar with the club, Crude to Tech is an outgrowth of the old New Orleans PC Club, NOPC. And they used to meet at Meisler Middle on Cleary in off of Veterans, between Veterans and West Esplanade in Metairie, in the Metries. And it's been kind of a Metairie-based club for a long time. Now they meet at there's been some reorganization, and I don't know all the details of that, but now they renamed and reorganized as very New Orleans name, of course, Crew de Tech, as in K-R-E-W-E, like our carnival stuff, which I think is just a wonderful thing. They need a purple green. They need to take the logo and purple green and gold it, but some people will roll their eyes. I always think it's cool, even though it's, you know, people go, oh, come on, you're not a tourist. I still think it's fun. So Crew to Tech is an outgrowth of the New Orleans Personal Computer Club, which is an outgrowth of an effort that was a big struggle to get started. Tim Merritt, who is a longtime teacher, and he's passed away now, but Tim had approached several of us, and this goes back to like 1986 or 87, with the idea of forming the New Orleans Computer Society, which would be on the model of the old Boston Computer Society, which was at the time one of the big PC clubs. You know, this is... You know, we're talking here. This is the Apple II TRS-80 Commodore kind of days when the Boston Computer Society started and going into that. And it was again, when I started with the travel training and everything, I kind of lost track of some of these different local efforts because I simply didn't have the. I wasn't here to go to meetings and commit to these kind of groups. But anyway, so it's evolved over time, and it's a pretty good group of folks. So that, what Crew to Tech does is, they have a couple of meetings a month. There's always one meeting a month where there's an outside speaker presenting on a particular topic that may or may not be of interest to you. And then they have tech meetings where it's like you bring your iPhone and you've got a problem, or you bring your laptop and you've got something to say, I want to install this software. Does anybody have any opinions on the best one type of software, whether it's a utility or like an antivirus or, you know, some kind of particular package, like, you know, like a drawing package or something like that. And there's just all kind of course, it's computer stuff. There's all kind of things to talk about. And on these little tech meetings, sometimes they break into smaller groups where, you know, it's like somebody who knows what they're doing sits down with someone who has questions, and then other people are kind of, you know, you're looking over their shoulder and see where that goes, sort of thing. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of it's a good experience. And anyway, I got involved with this because one of the officers in Crew to Tech is also knows me from my NOLA history guy persona, and when he learned that I do, you know, so well, you're a decent speaker, and if you can speak on computer stuff too, why don't you come and do this? And so I did one last year, and that's kind of blossomed into doing a number of presentations now for them. So last night, what we did was we talked about two content management systems for websites, and specifically WordPress and Drupal. Now I did a Facebook Live, which the angle is off. You're getting my better side on a lot of this, but I'm gonna put up the. I'm going to put the link to the, because I did the Facebook Live just to record it and occasionally get an idea of how I sound and everything. And people said it came out okay from a, you know, talk standpoint. So we'll go ahead and we'll share the link to that on the show page. And then, of course, I'll add a plugin. I don't think I have a PowerPoint plugin for WordPress on the C# software site at the moment, but we'll add that as well. And come in and talk. Some background on this, you know, the dominant content management system in really in, I don't, fair to say, in the world right now is WordPress. And if you go to now remember, if you're looking for this, and we'll put these notes on the show page as well, if you're looking for the software, there's WordPress.com and WordPress.org. Now WordPress.com is the site where if you want to make a blog and use WordPress as your blog hosting and your website hosting through their system, you would go to the .com. If you're going to download the software and set up WordPress on your own, then you would go to the .org. And so we talked about, in particular, one of the things we talked about, or the way I framed this particular presentation, this talk, was to look at what are your goals for your website. What are your, what are you looking to accomplish with the website? And then kind of compare the differences between the two content management systems, between WordPress and Drupal. And the idea here is that what ends up happening, and you kind of have to, I mean, it was an hour and 15 minute presentation, so we're kind of just summarizing some of this as we go. But one of the basic conclusions of the talk is the idea that if you're looking to keep it simple, then either one of these content management systems will be fine. But one of the things is that in terms of DIY, do-it-yourself stuff, or small stuff that's ease of use, you're gonna probably lean more towards WordPress because there are just so many plugins and so many options for WordPress that you get the idea that kind of thing. Whereas Drupal the couple things about Drupal, it's a very open source community. All of the plugins and the themes, there's stuff that's there for pay as well, that you have to buy and license. But there's a lot of open source and a community aspect to it. There's a much tighter focus on security. There's a lot more quality control going into the plugins that Drupal will endorse, whereas it's possible to deviate on WordPress and get yourself into some issues with older versions and exploits and that sort of thing. Also, WordPress being the larger platform, it's more ripe for exploitation by various nefarious computer types and that kind of thing. So you don't see as much of that with Drupal, simply because the number of people using the platform is smaller. It's not as lucrative for the bad guys to try to exploit it. One of the other things about Drupal, and we got to talking about this because of Tulane University. Tulane uses Drupal a good bit, and there's one example of that in particular are some of the different archives that are maintained and are under the umbrella of the Howard Tilton Memorial Library at Tulane University. These archives have document repositories and photo repositories, and just like any other library or private archive in the country or in the world, there's always initiatives to keep to digitize that stuff and make it more readily available and easy to search and that kind of thing. And there's an initiative in Louisiana. It's called the Louisiana Digital Library. And the idea is to bring a bunch of these university and private archive sites, like the different local state universities, anything from LSU to Tulane to UNO, and then the private sites like the historic New Orleans collection, and bring them into an umbrella that a user can come in and do a general search across all of these archives and see if that what they're looking for is available somewhere. And then as you drill in, you get into the site for a particular say, for example, I want to see pictures and information about a jazz musician. We'll just say Bunk Johnson. That kind of thing. A cornet player, and going back to the old days, Bolden and King Oliver days, that kind of thing. So you put in the name of a musician, and I'll get hits back from the Louisiana State Museum from their jazz collection. I'll get hits back from the Hogan Jazz Archive at Tulane, that kind of thing. And the software that does this is a is an open source community type package that's called Islandora. I'll put the link up. It's island, like, you know, an island in the sea. Island, Islandora, ORA, and it's a repository archive management search engine software, and a lot of the underlying institutions are using this, and then of course you can they've got the Louisiana Digital overlay, the aggregation site to go with it. Now, one of the interesting things about Islandora is that it runs on Drupal, and so you wouldn't start, you know, obviously if that's your goal is to get into something like that, you know, and then it comes into, you know, what is your purpose here? Are you setting up for an institution? Are you going to go get somebody to run this for you? Do you think you can be the person who runs this for somebody else? So you're going to start learning it for yourself, and then that could lead to possibly some consulting or a gig, that kind of thing. And so Drupal has this potential for that. It's also, like I said, there's a tighter focus on security in the Drupal community. That becomes a big thing. You have companies like Intuit that will use it for their websites, for products. Whitehouse.gov, I don't know what these guys are doing with that right now, but the Obama administration switched Whitehouse.gov to Drupal to make sure it was, you know, a good bit tighter from a security standpoint. Now, you know, there's no classified information out there on Whitehouse.gov, but next thing you don't want, you know, some hacker group putting up a, you know, obnoxious picture or something on your website. So it's tight in that respect. And that doesn't mean that WordPress is bad at these things. It just means there's a different motivation for it. You know, it's like for ElysianFieldsPress.com, which is where I sell the signed copies of the history books, you know, that I do and my novels. That's a WordPress site that uses an e-commerce plugin called WooCommerce, and it's hosted on it's hosted with a company called SiteGround, who are solid with secure web, and it's a perfect place for me to do the credit card transactions and e-commerce and everything. And it's easy. I'm sitting out here doing a podcast rather than being, you know, in front of the screen messing with that site right now. And that kind of thing is important. It's useful in that respect. So that's a good example of some of the difference here. You know, NOLA History Guy and Yat Pundit are WordPress sites, because I use a company called Blueberry. They have a podcast plugin, and then I pay them for hosting, you know, for storage, and their interface sends everything automatically to iTunes, so I don't have to fool with that. So that kind of, you know, when I assemble this later and drop the pod, that's all going to happen. I'd have to put in a lot more work to make that happen with Drupal. There is one thing though, Islandora fascinates me. So I've got a domain that I've had for a long time. Because basically relating to the urban fantasy novels and everything, I registered archangeli.com years ago, and right now it's just a basic Drupal drop page, you know, home page for a base install, and I'm going to flesh that out in Drupal. I'm going to commit to that, and probably turn that into some, like, you know, picture repository and some fun stuff. So I'll put that on the show page. Look, we've got more stuff on the show page than I'm talking about today, but you know, sometimes that happens with the geek stuff. And that's all we've got today for the Tech Wednesday edition of Yat Pundit's Pub. Hope you enjoyed the stuff we tapped. Keep in mind, again, suggestions for people that you think would make good interview subjects for the pod. Just let me know on that. And I'm going to go prep for my class now, and then we'll assemble the pod and drop it later this afternoon. Tomorrow we'll be back with our books and literary stuff on the Thursday edition of Yat Pundit's Pub, and we'll have the NOLA History Guy pod, of course, on Saturday as usual. So you guys go out. I hope I hope things are going well for you at midweek, and we'll catch you next time here in the pub.